Okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to start about my presentation about a tool that we introduced 2011, but almost no one knows about that tool. Even we talk about a lot in security bulletins that what is workaround for that security vulnerability and so on. So yes, 2011 we introduced that tool. So I'm going to tell you today about how to fight much better against zero-day exploits with this tool. And guess what? I'm not going to show you any hacking demos. Woohoo! I'm showing you how to protect environments, because that's more important, what I think, than show some scary demos. Because we all know how easy it's to hack, actually, because hacking is nothing but using your imagination. My name is Joonas Karjalainen. I come from Finland, and I work as a principal premier field engineer in Microsoft Services. So I do reactive cases, proactive cases, and so on. How many Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish here? I'm really like. Now you can pronounce my name. Good. So who am I? I built first AD in Finland for a bank already 99. Even we introduced AD year 2000. I joined Microsoft 2000 and I was a consultant. I did a lot of security related projects and job. I have done some pen tests. I have teach and I have done forensics. I have done many ethical hacking workshops, etc. But nowadays I do mostly about problem management. Most organizations, most people, they do actually incident management, but they don't have maybe skills to do problem management, which mostly is troubleshooting, and so on. So actually, I get my pay ticket nowadays from those. How many of you knows what is DIR and except that slash R, what it does? Few people. I made a lot of research at the beginning of Windows 2000 about alternate data streams and how you can hack with alternate data streams, how you can hide your data over there. So partly based on my researches, etc., we included that directly into operating systems. So you can find all the alternate data streams. Because still in Windows Vista, you were able to run, execute some bad code as an alternate data stream. I did my first pass-the-hash demo 2002. Actually, pass-the-hash technology was introduced first time 97. So now you can guess why I'm so bored nowadays about pass-the-hash, pass-the-ticket technologies. It has been there almost 20 years. But nowadays, it's a big topic. I'm also MET technical lead in Microsoft, and I have done something about 250 different health checks for various customers all over the, for example, Europe. So, I really like my language. I have a couple of Finnish colleagues over here who have also done some presentations, and I always tell that why actually Finland is more secure than all the other countries. It's partly because of language, because you may have something like, but we have älyöljy and järjestelmänvalvoja. And a couple of my favorite Finnish words, as a passwords, for example, they are very nice. First one is ratsumestarittarettako. Only one word. And another one is häyäe. So, for example, if you use those letters like häyäe in Windows NT, Windows 2000, your LM hash never get written to the registry. That's the way, because it's non-standard characters. So if you use those Scandinavian letters, for example, in your password, remember, LM hash is never written correctly to registry, for example, SAM database. Okay. Before I start to talk about Emmet, like I told you, hacking is nothing but using your imagination. And picture on the left describes that pretty well. So You may get ticket because camera takes picture of your registry plate. And when you drive too fast, you get ticket. But what if your registry plate will drop down some database tables? Really nice. Another thing is that it's all about how brave you are. You can also break in through the walls and steal some servers. How we can fight against these kind of stuff? Because SQL injection is more than 20-year-old problem, but all the generation, all the peoples make all the same mistakes again and again. So that's the reason we need to start to talk about more about Emmet. How many of you have installed and using Emmet at the moment, your machine? Way too few. So after my session, please start to download that, start to play with it. So there are a couple of good links from where to start. And my takeout for this is more like why you should or could use Emmet in your organization. And also I want to tell you some enterprise challenges what we have faced and what customers have faced. And regarding how much time I have, I also want to share you some other tips to raise your security bar in your organization. What I have seen in my deliveries that people should do. So why Emmet is so important? I would say that top three findings in all my deliveries, over 95% of my deliveries, patch management fails. And now I'm talking only about Windows patches. I'm not talking about Java, Adobe, and so on. So because that's the situation, if you have Emmet, you may still get infected, but Emmet will protect you. So people or hackers cannot probably steal that data so easily. Another finding is processes, who owns, for example, Active Directory, and when no one owns that correctly, no one is responsible. And same thing goes also with security stuff. And then we have always this, that we think that we are secure because we have firewall. We have this and that and that. And I always say about firewall that what is the most important thing that firewall needs to do? To let traffic through. So definition on Emmet. Everyone can read this, so I don't need to read this slide. But it's always a good idea to start from the basics. Why it's good to have Emmet. And actually, Emmet is simple to implement, but all those techniques, how it protects you, actually, they are very technical. Emmet is also recommended by many, many different organizations. For example, Finnish government recommends that nowadays. And we can also take a look at many NSA documents if you want. And this security intelligence report is actually something interesting because we kind of analyze landscape of exploits worldwide. And we take a look at all the vulnerabilities and malwares and so on from internet service providers, etc. So we have over 600 million computers from where we have this data. And this document is based on those findings. So it's very, very valuable documentation for you to read, especially those who respond or have some responsibilities about, for example, security in your organization. We have also some track records. And I only point out those 2014 two biggest MS exploits that were found. Emmet were able to mitigate both of them. When I have done my global implementations, there have been used SCCM or similar tools. So installation is very easy. You create MSI package and then you install that. You configure that with GPO, and unfortunately yet and still, you need to use XML files in some cases. Because, for example, certificate part cannot be yet configured with GPOs. There are only few event logs you get. So that's the reason if you know how to forward events, for example, with SCOM or some other tools, or Windows event forwarders, then you start to have information in your organization that how many mitigations Emmet have done in last week, for example. It's only about 3 event IDs you need to collect. And where those global companies and also local companies have used this is, for example, admin workstations. And then we have this SSLF, which is kind of security limited functionality, what we have, and so on. And machines where those companies have used them are XP to Windows 4.1, and actually quite big already organizations, like 12,000 clients. So yes, Emmet is already used in organization. And what is Emmet and why you should use that? Here you can already see the most reasons, and those reasons where people actually run Emmet most of the time. So Windows XP, one more time question, how many of you still must use XP in your organization because of some legacy applications? Few of them, but I'm actually quite happy, not that many hands. In your case, for example, I would say Emmet is must. Also, top 3 vulnerabilities in a way nowadays are browsers, Java, and Adobe Flash, for example. So if you only protect your browsers, Java, and Adobe, and why not also Office with Emmet, then you are more safe. So Emmet is not an antivirus or malware, but it still can mitigate those vulnerabilities and exploits to them. And when we take a look at normal antivirus nowadays, it's based on signatures, thumbprints, and so on. And there have been now a lot of discussion lately that what if antivirus would start to do behavioral-based stuff. So we get, for example, attachment, then we put that on sandbox, we open that attachment, and then we take a look how it behaves. And if it doesn't do anything illegal, I would say, then we put that back as an attachment, and then we send that back to the end user. Emmet is actually working in that way against buffer overruns, double free, use after free. And those technical terms you can read from many different places, because, for example, this use after free is nowadays what is actually happening with exploits all the time. Emmet cannot protect you against cross-site scripting or SQL, for example, injection, or if you have some design flaws over there. And why Emmet is so good for XP, it brings some new mitigations to older operating systems. So, for example, ASLR. So now we can randomize some memory addresses with XP. We couldn't do that without Emmet, but now we can. And that's always kind of nice. I have seen also many, many questions when I do these deliveries and developments. So one is there any centralized GUI management tool? And yes, there is no. So answer is unfortunately. So most mitigations and those settings to those mitigations can be managed by GPO. Not all of them, but most of them. Is there centralized reporting? No. So that's the reason you need to use some other techniques. And the next one is very, very common that actually cause a lot of misunderstanding when you use Emmet. So what happens when you use both GPOs and some of your mitigations you configure through GUI? Then you may get kind of conflicts, or you may have different settings in different places. So you need to just know that all the settings are merged. So we put them together. And if there is a conflict, GPO always wins. So the next question partly comes from there. So why I can't see all the mitigations I just created with GPO? That's by design. Because when you open your GUI, you only see those settings that you locally manage. You don't see GPO managed settings in your GUI. But I will show you a short demonstration a little bit later on about that. Then, what kind of capabilities we have over there. Actually, we have 12 different kind of memory corruption mitigations, so that's quite many. We have also some system-wide mitigations. So, for example, first, that kind of mitigation was in XP Service Pack 2, and we called that data execution prevention. And one thing that actually was quite funny those days, when we introduced XP Service Pack 2, a lot of organizations had a lot of applications that didn't work after that. So it meant those applications used memory in a weird way. So system developers needed to start to learn how to make more secure code and how to take care of data execution prevention, for example, and so on. Also, this randomized up, ASLR and so on. So now Emmet can also bring them to both older operating system, and it can also raise the bar on newer operating system. Then there are attack surface reduction, which is very new, nice feature in Emmet 5.0, because there, now you can tell that this specific plugin in Internet Explorer can be blocked if you run that on internet zone. But you can run that plugin on your own intranet zone. You can also tell that for Office, for example, and so on. So this is, I really like this feature, because that's one of the most dangerous area nowadays. Because during this tech ed, you have seen that we tell you a lot about how critical workstations are. So even we use those pastor something techniques or whatever, workstation is always the first place where we try to hack. And we start from userland memory vulnerabilities. Very rarely we can do anything in kernel directly. We start from userland memory. We also have one really, really nice feature which is called certificate trust. And shortly, Emmet helps you to fight against man-in-the-middle attacks based on certificates. So we can, in that way, we can protect your high-value websites. So if you create your own certificates and so on, now you can make sure that no one tries to tamper them. No one tries to do man-in-the-middle attacks. In Finland, for example, long time ago, there was one of those very scary demonstrations about how easy it is actually to do man-in-the-middle attack with SSL and certificates in generally, because people normally wants to do their job. So the first reactive when you get any kind of pop-up, I don't read anything, but I push enter. And if yes is selected by default, then weird things happens. Actually, I will not tell even in which country it was, but we had one case that malware actually hit to the machine, and there started to be pop-up that, do you want to disable your firewall, yes or no? This person was pretty well educated by IT because he hit no. Then, once again, pop up. So when she hit that no button about 1,000 times, she decided that I really need to continue my work. So she hit yes. 12,000 clients got infected. No one gets salary in that day. And it was salary pay day. So sometimes we need to also, like I told you, we need to take care of processes, etc. So even I would like to, Emmet will not help you with your processes. You need to do that. So Emmet is actually basically quite simple. So we have a graphical user interface component which puts information to registry, and then we have a GPO component which also puts information to registry. So you need to know where they are, and then you can start to also troubleshoot them if for some reason some of your settings, for example, do not appear to Emmet for some reason you don't probably don't know yet. There are also three policies you can use. So we have so-called default profiles or something like that. So product group have decided that these are the most recommended software where we see most exploits to be happen. So IE and other browsers like Safari, Mozilla, Firefox, and so on. Then there are also Office products and so on, 7-Zip, VM player, Skype, and so on. But if you want, you can decide to install Emmet so that it doesn't protect anything. And then you can start to pick up one application at the time what you want to protect. Because also one question or comment to me pretty often is that, no, we can't use Emmet because it breaks everything. It doesn't. And if it does break one of your application, then you can take one mitigation at a time away until you find out which specific mitigation actually broke your application. So next, I would like to show you some demonstrations about Emmet. So only that GUI part. So first of all, I duplicate my screen so it's easier for me to do this. So here you see Emmet GUI. So what we can start to look over here is that first of all, we have some system status. So these are system-wide protection which are provided some operating systems already, like data execution prevention, CHOP, and so on. Also, you can choose if you want to implement, for example, certificate trust in your organization or not. But some of these settings may have some dangerous features, and I will tell you a little bit more about them later on. You can also see all the running processes, and when you take a look from here, you can see that, for example, which processes are already protected by Emmet. I will also show you some more some small troubleshooting tips later, how you can really verify if it's protected by Emmet. And by the way, we have already seen malware and antiviruses from pseudocode point of view. We have seen that if Emmet DLL exists, then do something else. So malware world already knows Emmet. So be aware of that. So when we try to protect anything like that, it's always like cat and mouse game. And I will tell you also a little bit later that, for example, if you change the name of executable, Emmet will not protect that after that. So it's not based on hashes of the file or anything like that. So that's the reason. I know that many of you have been in our sessions where we talk about AppLocker. So if you implement AppLocker together with Emmet, then you can really, really raise your security bar. Also, we can take a look what applications have been protected by Emmet. So I click that apps. And then I can see that all my Office are over there, etc. So these which are bolded, those are coming from, for example, default profiles or something like that. But then you can see also that who is your daddy is also protected. So this is something that I protected by myself because later on I want to show you how Emmet will mitigate some of exploits that this who is your daddy will do. So that's definitely one thing. Also, what you can take a look from here, you can take a look at all these mitigations, what we have over there, and you can go mitigation by mitigation, and you can tell you that, okay, do we want to protect this specific, let's take a look, for example, IE Explorer. I talked to you about, for example, one really, really nice attack surface. And so here you can define, for example, which modules, which DLLs, which plugins you want to protect or allow in your different zones. So that makes actually Emmet quite flexible in your organization. So you decide how you want to protect, for example, plugins and so on. So like I told you, in internet zone, not allowed, but in intranet zone, you can run this plugin. And that's really, really nice feature. So then we also need to have understanding about command line tool. So we have emmet underscore conf. So when we run this tool, you can find something interesting thing. And first one is, I don't know why, but those who have managed emmet, you will do that, I would say, error a couple of times. So you only give this one line, one minus sign over there, and your parameters doesn't work. You really need to give them twice. So in this case, for example, when I run emmet conf minus minus list, you get all these same mitigations we just saw from GUI. But now you also see mitigations that are done by group policies. So there is calc.exe and notepad.exe, for example. So when I go to apps, you saw that calc is not, you don't see it over here. So what if I run calc? And then I put that a little bit smaller, so I can go over here, downstairs, take a look what happens for example, calc. And if you don't see that in first place, it means that you need to refresh emmet, for example, and then it will show you. But later on, I show you with a Process Explorer, for example, that what happens over there if you don't know for sure if it's protected by emmet or not. Because with this toolkit also, you must be able to for example, refresh your settings sometimes so that you can see, is it really now protected by emmet or not? So PowerPoint is over there. So actually, I switch another machine right now. So it's much easier to show you. Oops. Wrong. So I take my Windows 7 machine, which is over here. And same thing over here. So when we take a look this right now in Windows 7, you can see that there is no, so there is a refresh button. So when you click that refresh button, you see. So let's start calc, for example. Over here. And now it should appear over there. And if it doesn't, then we can start to wonder why. And we need to troubleshoot. So here now you can see that when I started the new process, you can see that process ID, etc. Now it's protected by emmet. And same thing also over here. When we take a look with emmet conf minus minus list, you can see that actually calc is protected also in my Windows 7 machine through group policies. So when you install emmet, it also brings you a new group policy templates, and you can find them from over here. So you need to put them to the right place. So it's definitely, if you want to do them through local group policies, you need to move them to policy definitions folder. And if you want to put them on SysVol, you need to create this central storage on domain controller, and you need to put both ADMX and ADML file to the right place. And after that, you will see a new template under Windows component called emmet, and then you can start to modify them. So, for example, if I open local gpedit from here, you can see administrative templates, Windows, emmet, and now you can start to take a look what kind of configuration you can do by group policies. So, how many of you don't use GPOs? Oh, one hand. I was almost so happy. Yeah, I know you have very good business reason for that, but well, we can take this offline a little bit later. Yeah, so like I told you, the basic configurations of Emmet, they are not, it's not the rocket science to manage that Emmet. But one thing that may feel sometimes a little bit like a rocket science is that when we start to talk about more about those mitigations, what they are, and how it actually protects your operating system. So, one more time, let's go back to the presentation. So we start to talk about now more about those mitigations. So different operating system, I mean server and client, we have different set of settings for same stuff like data execution prevention. And for example, this structured stuff called CHOP. So in client, we don't protect everything, I would say like that. But on server, we try to protect everything. All the applications, all the executables, and so on. So we have opposite settings over there. And then, unfortunately, way too often I see on the field that you need to install, because of some management software, you need to install Java or something like that to your server. And then you realize that actually I need to change my dev setting to be different. And I need to exclude that Java from data execution prevention. So in that case, for example, you open many, many doors once again for those exploits. And in those cases, Emmet could be probably a good idea to give some extra protection also on your servers. Mostly Emmet is designed for user land applications, so mostly for workstations. But in some rare cases, it's probably a good idea to think about that also in server. One thing you need to know, on BitLocker system, if you change dev setting, what it actually does, in XP in Windows 7, it actually changes the boot.ini settings. And every single time you change them, next time you reboot, your recovery key will be asked. Same happens over here. Third thing, if you want to enable these randomized memory addresses, ASLR, and you have, for example, well, NVIDIA video card, for example, you may get blue screen. So these kind of things in at enterprise level, you also need to take care of. You need to test all your application, how they work. So before you implement Emmet, of course, you do some kind of pilot, naturally. And when it's okay, then you start to implement more and more applications over there. But because of these kind of stuff, you really need to know how actually Emmet works, and that's my main reason to be here, to give you more awareness of Emmet so that you can know what happens. Also, when you take a look at that small picture, that top of corner over there, as you can see, we have many, many different system-wide settings over there, and those settings take care of, and they look your application or executable, because when system developers make their code to executable, they have different kind of flags that they can tell that, is my application, for example, ASLR aware or data execution prevention aware? So, for example, this application opt-in, you must compile one of these flags. And if you have opt out, you don't need to do that. And if you have always on, we don't care, it's still on. And in some cases, for example, if you do always on, then one of your critical business applications may don't work, even you don't protect that by Emmet. But the reason is your business application is using some IE plugin in the background. I had one hospital, for example, and they exactly had that issue. So with Emmet 5.0, they were able to find out those plugins, those DLLs, and they allowed them to be running on intranet site. Business critical applications started to work. How many system developers we have over here? None. Okay, I would say that next 10 slides, I probably will not go very detailed information because those are more for system developers. Because when you start to see something like that, people start to be like, woo, I don't understand anything. And that's the way it is normally, because these are very technical information, but in general, when we talk about data execution prevention, very shortly, we try to mark some memory areas so that you can't execute your bad code, your hacker code from there. Then we have also this ASLR. Every single time you start your application, it started in some memory address. But now when you start that next time, it's not on same memory address. We put that somewhere else. When we start that again, once again, it goes somewhere else. So malware has much more things to do so that they find that piece of vulnerable code from memory. Then we have mandatory, for example, CHOP or ASLR also over there. So I actually already explained that. And then we have also EAF, which is actually, I would say, very technical stuff. But shortly, if you want to do something useful in Windows memory, shellcode, which is piece of kind of very low-level code in the stack, that shellcode needs to call some Windows API. And shellcode must first find the address where that API is. And with this EAF, we can block if malware tries to do that in a way, illegal way, we can stop that to work. And we have included a couple of very dangerous DLL from that point of view, because those DLL is quite close to kernel already. So why those user and vulnerabilities are so dangerous? Because from there we try to get closer and closer to kernel. And when we can get to the kernel, then we can do privilege escalation, and then we can start to do those hacking demos. Because one common thing always when you see hacking demos is that we always start as a local admin when we start to show our demos, and we forget to tell you that. Then heap spray protection. It's exactly what it tells. I take my spray and I start to spray my shellcode different places in memory. And then I hope that I can write over some jump points so that it actually don't jump to its real code. It jumps to my own code. And it starts to run my own code in user context with user privileges, what you have. Null page protection is pretty much same, but different technique. But there we also kind of spray null pages over there. And in that way, we can have a lot of different kind of vulnerabilities, I would say. Then we go even deeper. So when we talk about return-oriented program overview, we have many, many nice features which makes malware world and malware life much harder to get succeeded. Remember, when you have Emmet running on, those who are interested, just read Emmet user guide, and you get all the detailed information about these mitigations. I know there is a company called Bromium, for example. They bypassed every single 12 mitigations in Emmet 4.1. Then they work together, our product group, so our product group make tool better. There are also some other companies who have written some blogs that this is the way how we kind of interpreted Emmet and so on. So like I told you, it's not bulletproof. It's cat and mouse game, but it can definitely raise your security bar because of these very, very technical details, how it protects stuff. So shortly, when we have memory protection checks, Emmet just tries to disallow so that when we make stack array executable, we don't want to do that. So in that way, shellcode always tries to do their own stuff, etc. Then we have some load library checks, for example, over there. So Emmet tries to monitor all different kind of calls to, for example, load library function. And the main thing actually over here is that we try to stop all the codes to try so that they don't load those libraries and probably other functions, useful functions behind remote locations. So if you know that you have some application that really needs this, now you know that also that's the reason why Emmet blocks that. Okay, I need to take that memory protection away. And then you have a much better thing. Then we have a more like caller checks. So when some critical functions, for example, are reads, we just try to tell that are we using call or ret, because they behave differently. And if we don't use call, we use ret, then we maybe are able to, for example, do bad stuff much easier over there. And same things goes with simulate execution flow. So it tries to just find out some return-oriented program gadgets in memory and what they do. And if they do something, once again, illegal in 32-bit world, then we just stop them. Stack pivot is the last one. So we just want to take a look if stack is pivoted. Pivoted. How to pronounce that word? Pivot. Pivoted. So it's very, very also good protection, because also many, many malware and virus, they try to, for example, use this technology when they want to infect your machine. We have also some advanced mitigation overview, so still we do pretty much same. But this is actually something I want to introduce to you a little bit more, because 13063 was actually quite interesting, and there is actually good documentation about that. But we have some kind of function, and with that one we can tell you that you don't need to reboot your machine, but you can still patch this machine without rebooting. So it has some functionalities that are actually quite dangerous, because in that way also malware, if it uses that hot patch routine, it can patch your DLL to be vulnerable on fly, not after reboot. So that's the reason also it's good to know. Banet function, very, very good mitigation. There are also nice documentation about that in Microsoft, so feel free to read Banet functions, and you only need to type that LDR hot patch routine and you find that information. Then we have deep hooks. So Emmet protects critical APIs and some lower level APIs used by some very top level APIs. And Emmet does not only hooks those, so it protects also virtual allocation and some other application, or not application, I mean functions. And in that case, it's much, much easier once again to fight against those malwares and so on. Anti-deters is pretty much same, very nice new feature over there. So, but like I told you, this information is more for system developers. So I want to go back more to the impact of Emmet, because now you don't need to be a system developer anymore again in my presentation. So what kind of vulnerabilities we have had? Like I told you, that SIR document you can download from us explains very well what is trend at the moment. And one thing what you can see over here is this purple bar over here. That has been raised a lot, and it's so-called user after free. And this vulnerability class includes issues that arise because of incorrect management of objects' lifetime. So these kind of techniques are coming. And if you take a look at that picture on the left, you can see that what kind of affected software we have had lately, or actually in 2013, and for example, which mitigations were effective by Emmet. So I just want to show you and give you some ideas and pictures that how good Emmet is to protect your enterprise. Don't scare too much what it breaks. Think more about how it can save us in some cases. Then one thing, some organizations are actually very, very interested in this trust, root certificate trust or certificate trust in generally. So you may have PKI in your information, you may use your certificates in many different ways. So now with Emmet, actually what we can do, we can start to create those certificate trust settings. So first you create your certificate so-called pinning rule, then you create your website you want to protect, and then you put them together. And after that, you have pretty good man-in-the-middle attack. And if you want to, for example, low some security bars, then you can start to, for example, tell that only public key needs to be matched. So I don't care that much about a name or something like that. So public key is enough, etc. And then one thing, this works by default with Internet Explorer, and that's also supported. But you can also include, for example, Firefox or Chrome over there, but those are not supported. Remember, yeah, exactly. So that's my point. I'm coming to that. So if you put there, so actually the comment was that Firefox is not using crypto API. Correct. So you need to know what you put over there. Is it protected or not? So for example, Chrome is using crypto API. So you can use them. But remember, it's not supported by Microsoft. So this tool is fully supported by Premier support also. So that's also good to know. And by the way, one thing, when we say that something is not supported, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means that our product group hasn't had a time to test with these kind of settings. That's always actually good to remember. But also, if you are, for example, Premier customer and you want to open case to us that we have some problem with Emmet, we may tell you that, okay, take these non-supported settings first away. Can you reproduce the problem? And if you can, then we start to also support you immediately. On my implementations, what I have done in the field, quite few organizations are interested in that. But those organizations who are, they really like this at the moment. But it's not that used, I would say. Okay, so next I will show you a short demonstration that actually how you can then, as a technical person, as a person who needs to troubleshoot things, how you can verify that actually Emmet is protecting your environment. So one more time, I just duplicate my screen. So I think it's not a surprise for most of the people that I open Process Explorer. And then one thing you always need to remember when we take a look, for example, let's say if we have this calc over there, which we saw that is protected by Emmet. Now we can also start to take a look over here. And what I normally do, I always show lower pane and I want to show DLLs for you. So over here, when I see calc.exe, for example, I can start to take a look that do I have any DLL injected over there. And I can see DLL is not injected in this case. So Emmet is not protecting that. So let's go back to my virtual machine over here. And we start same thing from here. So I open Process Explorer. And then I start, or calc is started, and we can see it's over here, but how I can verify it in a Process Explorer, I just take a look one more time, view, show lower pane, and DLLs, yes. So now I need to find out my calc, where it is, over there. And when I click that, I go down, and I see that there is emmet64.dll. So one more time, we use so-called shimming technology. Once again, if you want more information about read user guide, go to MSDN, find what is shimming. And it's, in a way, DLL injection what we use. So if I double-click that calc.exe file, this is the main place from where you troubleshoot that is your process protected by Emmet, because you see this new variable over there. That's the main thing that tells you that actually this is protected by Emmet. And then you see a lot of weird kind of numbers, etc. over there. So those who are interested in Emmet, you can contact to Premier support, for example, and we can have delivery for you where we do Emmet pilot with you, and there we go very deeply how you can troubleshoot Emmet, and we tell you all those numbers, what they mean. Mostly zero is off, one is on, or vice versa. And also, sometimes you can have kind of Emmet underscore CE. So for example, Internet Explorer have both of those. Both variables over there. That hard actually is troubleshooting Emmet. Of course, another thing what you need to do is you need to know in where in your registry this information actually stays. So if I open, for example, regedit, did you know that Emmet actually creates the node? No, they don't do. But actually, I had discussion today with my colleague that very few people actually use these favorites. I have used them about 10 years. So because demonstrations are always easier to do me. So I click GPO part. So here you can see what kind of settings you can see from registry. So that Emmet underscore conf actually reads this information. And then I can go to local. So over here you can see application by application, how it's protected and so on. So for example, all the Java versions in my computer will be protected by Emmet if needed and so on. So actually troubleshooting itself with Emmet is not that hard. It's more like I made my group policy change, but I can't see that on Emmet. So more often you need to first troubleshoot why your group policy doesn't work. And that's one of my favorite topics, troubleshooting group policies. So your technical people needs to know group policies pretty well, and they need to know how Emmet works. They don't need to do, honestly, that much about those protection details, about how those mitigations works, but they need to know how to verify that your process is protected by Emmet. So as you can see, it's not that hard to find out that information. Emmet is purely register-based. So I'm waiting already first malware that tries to hit Emmet, because I know many of you have been in for example, Rustinovich lessons, and there have been a lot of malware nowadays. They take a look that if some of his sysinternal suite tool is running, you can start any, for example, those tools, because malware is trying to stop that. So I'm waiting that for Emmet. Like I told you, there are already some malware. If Emmet DLL is there, then do something else. Okay, I go back to my presentation. Next, I want to show you actually very shortly that how Emmet works on fly. So I have a couple of test programs what I can run, and then you see that how actually Emmet works and from where you can find information about that. So first of all, once again, when I have Emmet over here, now what I need to do, I need to, for example, well, I do it from here, so run as administrator. And I need to first go to CD, actually CD, this one, CD. So we have also created Emmet test tool by product group. And with this tool, we can start to run different kind of tests. And we try to do all those mitigations, or we try to take a look that if your process is protected by Emmet or if it's not protected by Emmet, what can happen. So for example, one more time, if I run dir over here, you see now do executables. So I have Emmet underscore test, and I have who is your daddy. And when I run this Emmet test, for example, and I do test and heap spray. Now you can see that it's waiting, but I started that process. So I take a look from Emmet right now that what's happening over there. So when I take a look it from here, for example, and I refresh that button over there, it's very slow. However, it's not protected by Emmet. So what happens when I continue over there? If you see this message, heap spray pre-allocation was not enabled or not configured. So actually, heap spray, this was malware that used heap spray attack method and was successful. So case closed. Your machine is now infected. I take later if you can. Yeah, please. Okay, then let's do the same. But I use this, for example, who is your daddy, and test heap spray. HEPA. heap spray. And when we run that one, now you can see what happens when Emmet is working. So it crashes your process. And now what you should do if you really do problem management, if this is third or fourth incident you have, that you should trigger problem management, which means now you should find root cause. So you should take now a dump of this guilty process. And I pretty often actually know that how many of you knows for sure how to dump now guilty process very easily. So you only need to open Task Manager, right click from there, or Process Explorer, right click for that guilty process and make dump. And then, for example, our Premier support can start to analyze that file. Now also, what is important over here, we can also go to event log, because it creates event log in this case. And it's in Windows and application log. And you can see already here Emmet. So we have only few event IDs. And with those event IDs, we are able to find out which mitigation, which process, which machine, and so on. So it gives us a lot of good and nice information about how Emmet has mitigated different kind of problems in your organization. So from that point of view also, I don't know how many of you, for example, were in that session detect undetectable. But there, for example, we spoke a lot about that you need to find those top 12 or top 30 event IDs. Start from there. And If you implement Emmet, for example, in your organization, you only need to add a couple of event IDs. And after that, you are able to find out that what's going on in your organization regarding different kind of mitigations. You can do this by, for example, if you know, for example, how to configure. I haven't done that, but you can do with forwarded events. And when I do these Emmet deliveries with customer, this is also one thing we always do together with customer, so that they start to get an idea what's going on, how many mitigations Emmet have done lately, and so on. So from that point of view, it's also quite easy to find out just the event IDs, and you are able to know what Emmet actually is doing for you. Okay, then I go, or I continue. Because next thing, it's not only about Emmet. We can also tell a lot of different kind of things. And the reason why I want to show this slide, even this is Emmet presentation, but I personally feel them very, very important. I just want to kind of create new discussion points with you, etc. And many of these presentations you have seen already. There are NSA white papers. There are different kind of different things what you can do. But one of my all-time favorites, in a way, is server core installation, so command prompt part. It still have ports listening and everything like that, but when we take a look from user land point of view, we don't have Internet Explorer. We don't have Windows Explorer. It has only about one port less to be listening by default than what GUI server has. And where you can see a lot of good things about Core server is that there are about 50% less of executables and DLLs, but there are more than like 75% loaded modules. So if you have GUI server and you load some application, it loads a lot of modules. In Core server, 75% less. So that's always something. And it's perfect platform to your domain controllers. Perfect platform for your domain controllers. But one main reason probably why people don't use Core Matsu server is that they don't know, or probably they haven't done that much command prompt stuff. But with Windows 2012, you can have one GUI server, and then you can start to manage that Core server remotely. Pass the hash white paper. I don't need to explain actually that so much. So you have seen some very nice lessons over here. And I have also been partly of that white paper or given some comments. But remember also one thing about that pass the hash white paper. We don't talk much about computer accounts. But I want you to remember that computer account is also a user account. It authenticates to Active Directory, and it also have hashes. Before we can create secure channel between my machine and Active Directory, my machine needs to authenticate to Active Directory. If I can't authenticate, or my machine can't authenticate to Active Directory, what happens? We use CAST credentials. Do you allow CAST credentials? In laptop, yes, we need to do that, of course, and so on. But do you need to allow CAST credentials in your domain environment where you have stable desktop over there? Those are things that sometimes we need to discuss about. App Locker, definitely one of those things which are, I would say, underestimated and underused in organizations. When I start to talk about App Locker in my deliveries, pretty often I hear that just we don't want to do that because what about all those blacklists and whitelists? Yeah, that's quite a hard thing to do, but use audit mode. Use half a year audit mode first. Then you know what kind of applications people are actually running in your organization. And put that audit mode to every single computer. We use that. Microsoft uses that at the moment. We have audit mode. And actually, like Roger Crimes said in that undetectable session, actually when we allowed that, no one recognized that. So no performance issue, nothing like that. But now our IT has awareness what kind of applications we run. How many of you are aware of Security Compliance Manager? Good. How many of you have done AD security assessment by Premier Support? Yeah, you should know that because most of those checks are based on Security Compliance Manager. And Security Compliance Manager, once again, is a free tool that can help you to configure your domain environment in a secure way. You get our recommendations as a group policy settings. You can also compare your settings against our recommendations. So you take backups your group, with your group policies, you put them somewhere else. Like in Sysvol, it's not a good idea to keep them there and make that compare over there. So you copy them to somewhere else, and then you run this Security Compliance Manager against those backed up GPOs, and you compare all your settings. And Security Compliance Manager tells you immediately what are difference to our recommendation. For example, all of you who are outsourcing partners, it's very valuable tool for you when you have win a new contract from old outsourcing partner. So Security Compliance Manager is also one of those tools. If you do any kind of security job against Windows servers, Active Directory, Office, Windows clients, SQL Server, or anything like that, just take a look at this Security Compliance Manager. You get all those recommended GPO templates to all supported operating systems, for example, what we have. So from Windows 7 to Windows 8.1. From Windows 2003 to Windows 2012 R2. Very nice tool. Security Configuration Wizard, built-in feature in Windows Server, for example, operating system, since Windows 2003. Once again, quite rarely used, but very simple way to raise your security bar in easy way. You can also have a different kind of settings from older operating system, and you can merge them together if you want. Then my kind of only sales speech over here is that, for example, these are deliveries or services that we provide, SLAM, Securing Lateral Movement, and Enterprise Securing Administrator stuff. So shortly, what we do with SLAM is that with that delivery, if you have 22,000 clients, none of those clients have same admin password. None of your 22,000 clients. And those passwords are stored in Active Directory in encrypted way. And we delegate stuff so that only few people can read those passwords from Active Directory. And it's also a security attribute, so if you have read-only domain controllers, we don't replicate them there, and so on. So we want to, and also one part of that is that if you are domain admin, you should never be able to read emails, you should never be able to browse internet, and you should only go to one single machine from where you can do your domain admin to only domain controllers, not everywhere else. Then if you want to read your email or browse internet, you must use domain user account, which has no privileges. So it's that kind of delivery. So another was this ESAE, and there we want to build you kind of a red Active Directory or something like that, So that red active directory is a kind of management forest. Remember, forest is security boundary. So we create another kind of management forest. And in this way, we can separate our production active directory from management part. In outsourcing business, for example, if you change your outsourcing partner 3 or 4 times, every single delivery I have made against those kind of environments, you see a lot of signs from all the older outsourcing partners. Like we may have hundreds of domain admins and enterprise admins. But remember, it's not only about if you are domain admin or enterprise admin. What makes me admin? My user privileges. What makes you admin in domain? Same thing, privileges. So you can be almost like a domain user, but you belong many different groups, and then you get more and more privileges. Two of my favorites, backup privilege. You can read from registry, also from security hive. Restore privilege, now you can write there. So only with these two privileges, for example, makes a lot of power for me to do my hacking tricks if I want. Also, one thing I had over there was plain text emails, for example. It's definitely something I really, for example, like. So plain text is always kind of interesting because most people don't use plain text because if you get, for example, how would I say, airplane tickets. It's pretty interesting to look them as a plain text. So from that point of view, it's kind of interesting. Let me change that so that you should see those. IPsec is also something. I hear so many excuses that no, we can't use IPsec because we want to take a look inside protocol what is there. That's the excuse number one. Don't encrypt that. It's not mandatory. You can take encryption away, and you still have better security because before I talk to my partner as a machine, I first want to verify that he is who he's telling me that he is. So in that way, you can also take a look at that protocol if you want. Sysmon, very, very nice sys internal tools. It creates very nice event log what's going on in your environment. And Sysmon is very efficient tool if you have something or you suspect that something weird is going on in your machine. So it's probably a good idea to run Sysmon over there. But that's another topic. So the more you want to know that tool, it's Sys internal tool. So go there, find out more information about that. How many of you are aware of Attack Surface Analyzer? After this ticket, because yes, it has been showed also over there. Very nice way to find out what's going on in your system. So for example, you have your basic image. You take first snapshot after that. Then after a year, you take another snapshot and then you compare that against your basic image. And then you know what kind of softwares have been installed over there and probably what kind of doors they have opened for you. Latest operating system, definitely one of my favorite. It's not a long time ago since I made AD risk assessment service to one global company and they outsourced their AD. And contract told that generic kind of management contract, SLA told that we only manage Windows 2008 and Windows 2012 servers. Guess how many Windows 2003 domain controllers they had? So half of the Active Directory were fully passed and in very good shape, but all those Windows 2003 machines, missing patches from 2007. Because SLA, management contract, didn't say that. So if we don't patch them, and after we don't support them, we don't patch them. That's very, very bad. And like I told you in the beginning, that's also the main reason why we have these issues over there. Also remember policies, processes, and commitment. That's very, very important how you can raise your security bar. Do you know who really owns your Active Directory in business? Because between business and between IT, we have actually SLA. And between IT and outsourcing partner, we have underpinning contract. So those both things need to be in good shape. Otherwise, it's almost impossible to talk about security. So, these were my takes out right now. So I really hope that you start to use Emmet and you start to implement that. And those who are Premier customers, contact your local technical account manager, for example, and we can start to work with you. And those who are not, you are still able to contact us so we can help you. I also told you a couple of enterprise challenges over there and other security tips you can do. So for more information, can be found over here. And submit your evaluations, please. It's very, very important for us. I have 2 seconds left. Done. 0000.